and Gospels Open Mic Friday on this June the 19th in the year of our Lord 2015. And right after the program, I'm on my way to Collinsville, Illinois, where Issues Etc. is having a fabulous two-day seminar with a number of speakers. And I'll be there with a table with a lot of the products on it. And the products are really reduced in price because I don't have to do any postage, no mailing, this sort of thing. So if you're at all interested, we'd love to see you there. This Sunday, where am I preaching? I'm preaching in Christ Lutheran Church in Clinton, Illinois at 8:15 a.m. It's a dual parish, so right after that, I'm going to Zion Lutheran Church in Chestnut, Illinois at 10:30 a.m. So if you're near Clinton, Illinois or Chestnut, Illinois, don't hesitate to get over there. First one at 8:15, second one at 10:30. Being Open Mic Friday, we're only too happy to take any of your calls. I do want to touch on a couple of things, first of all. We had an email from one of our listeners asking how mountains come about. I believe she mentioned Mount Everest. How long did it take for Mount Everest to be made? And what year do I think it was made? Well, let me say this. I am not a scientist. Second of all, you've got Pastor Wirth, who just was on this morning, and I'm sure he'd be glad to answer a question like that. You can call Andy Bates, whose program is the host, and every Friday from 8:45 to 9, Wirth is on there, and it'd be interesting to see what his answer is. I'm going to give you my answer. If you were a scientist and you were able to be available on the 10th day of creation, that would be on Wednesday, and you looked around, how old do you think the earth would be from a point of view of a scientist? Well, I'll tell you, they'll still come up with millions and millions of years old. Why? Because if you were a doctor and took a look at Adam and Eve on their day of creation or 5 days after that, guess what? They would look to be either teenagers or young people, and you would no way have guessed that they were only 5 days old. You see, God created the earth with age. He created the earth with age. And in fact, the Bible even talks about that mountains were already there when the earth was created. So, for example, if it was the first month of Adam and Eve's anniversary of coming together, being married, he could have dug into the ground and found a diamond and given it to her. Now, normally, diamonds take a lot of time to be made. It's fossilized wood under a lot of pressure and finally get a diamond. How do I know this? Well, I was watching a Superman movie once, and some tribe in Africa or South America, the diamond out of the eye of their idol was stolen, and Superman took a piece of coal and pretended he was looking for it under quicksand, and he put his arm down there, and he just put a lot of pressure on it, and out it came a perfect diamond, which, strangely enough, looked just like the eye of the diamond of the other eye. Kind of interesting, but at least I learned how diamonds come about through coal. The point I'm trying to make here is I don't doubt at all that Mount Everest already was in existence when the world was created. In other words, trees were in existence. You know how long it takes a tree to grow and bear fruit? So we need to understand that from a creationist point of view, one would assume that the earth was really, really old from today's science. However, there's a lot of things to show that the earth is really quite young in contrast to that. I'll just give you one example. You know, elements give off radiation or whatever they do, and they've measured the amount of radiation on the Earth from these elements, and it appears the Earth is only 10 to 15,000 years old. That's all that the whatever they give off has accumulated. Answers in Genesis has wonderful magazines and articles in this area, so we would encourage you to get a copy of their magazine. We gave one to our grandson, and we just got a note saying it's coming up again for renewal. So the fact of the matter is that from a really good scientific point of view, the Earth is really young from science, not from the Bible. So that's how I would answer that question, but perhaps Pastor Wirth has got even better insights than I have. Second of all, another email that I'd like to respond to. Hello, Pastor Baker. I have a question that I've been researching and come up with different answers, so I was hoping you could clarify a few things. It is regarding Jesus descending to hell and what happened to believers that died before Jesus came. I know he descended into hell to proclaim his victory over sin, death, hell, and the devil. But I also read that he opened heaven's gates for the just who had gone before him, and that believers who died before Jesus came couldn't enter heaven. Didn't believers in the Old Testament times go straight to heaven? One article I read said that believers who died before Jesus went to a separate place below the earth until the time Jesus came, because the heavens were not open until Jesus came. Coming to you for the truth, thank you and love your program. Well, you're going to be surprised what I'm about to say. Believers don't even go to heaven when they die, at least the heaven you're thinking about. That heaven, that new earth, that new sky, that new whatever, that new creation, guess what? It doesn't occur until after Judgment Day. So where are believers now? We actually talked about this at the Bible study we have at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet every Tuesday night, beginning at 7:30 p.m. We brought it down a little earlier starting this week. And the question was asked, what is meant by the kingdom of heaven? And I made the point that there are actually three dimensions of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, if you listen to a parable, the kingdom of heaven is like, some of the parables begin. Is Jesus talking about what it's going to be like in heaven after Judgment Day? That there's going to be sowing and the devil is going to come and take the seed away? No. He's talking about a kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, I disagree with the notion that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, because everybody thinks about heaven after Judgment Day. No, a parable is an earthly story with an earthly meaning. What? Jesus takes common things on the earth, like agriculture or fishing and so, taking care of sheep, and compares it to what is already on earth called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is the holy Christian church. You already are, in a sense, in the kingdom of heaven because you're part of the membership of the church. The Holy Spirit, if you've been baptized, has made your body his temple. So, when you die, you don't go to the heaven that comes about into being after Judgment Day. You go to what we call the interim. And there's very, very little information about the Bible in the Bible. You're there in the spirit, not in the body, because the body is buried, but it is rejoined with the spirit after Judgment Day. And that's when that new heavens and new earth come about. So I'm not particularly thinking that when we talk about people go to heaven after they die, we're not talking about the heaven that occurs after Judgment Day, but we're talking about the heaven in what we refer to as the interim, I-N-T-E-R-I-M, the interval between your death and Judgment Day. Now, some people think you're asleep. Luther thought that for a while, Martin Luther. Others believe, no, you are aware, because it says that the spirits in heaven are waiting for that day when their loved ones will join with them. But whatever the situation, you are in bliss. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no purgatory. So we just don't have enough information, and we probably don't have the words in human language to describe what it's like anyway. We always got to use metaphorical language when we're talking about God, about heaven, and so forth. So what happened to the people? There is a place called Sheol, and some people think it's hell, and for unbelievers, it is the beginning of hell. Because, remember, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison, it says. That's in 1 Peter. And that's what we call the descent into hell, after he had risen from the dead to show victory over sin, death, and the devil. So we believe, teach, and confess that the Old Testament people did go to a place that was in bliss. Remember, David says about his son who dies, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him. And I think that's really helpful. So one can say, yes, believers or unbelievers, they go to a separate place after they die, even in the Old Testament. Now, the idea that Jesus opened heaven gates for the just who had gone before, we want to be real careful there, that what we're talking about is it was a cross that really was the reason why anyone is in bliss. And those who believed, those in the Old Testament, that Jesus was coming, like Abraham, remember, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Okay. We got a few people on the phone line right now, and I'm just going to go to them. Hi, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Well, I was wanting to speak to the pastor.
Yes, this is, you're on the air.
Okay. I wanted to ask him about our souls. I had heard on one of the Christian radio stations, it may not have been KFUO, that the soul lived for, or stayed with the body, like, for a couple of days after the physical death of the body. And I also wanted to ask him about, in today's scripture, whenever the pastor was talking about the valley of the shadow of death, and he was talking about how Jesus went across this valley, known as a creek, but also called the black the black strength or something, because during the winter time it filled with water.
Okay, there's no Bible verse to back that last thing up, so I wouldn't be able to comment on that. But let me stick with this other thing you were saying, that the soul stays with the body for a few days. That's not correct. And would you like a Bible verse to show you it's not?
Well, absolutely.
Okay, remember when Jesus was on the cross, what he said to the thief? He didn't say, in a few days, you will be with me in paradise. He says, today, you will be with me in paradise. And we talked about how both the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the thief went directly into the interim, the kingdom of heaven, after each of them died on the cross. So that proves that the soul immediately leaves the body when death occurs. We might have some argument among doctors as to when death really occurs, and I'm not going to be able to be a professional on that, because, you know, the brain waves may stop, the breathing may stop, but the cells keep going. So it certainly isn't a whole day. And so it would be very soon after both of them died on the cross that they would be immediately with God in heaven. So it's not a few days. It occurs right away. Is that helpful?
Yes. So that would be what you would call the second heaven, so to speak, paradise.
Yes, the second dimension, the interim, we call it. And there's just not that much information in the Bible. I'm sorry for that, but I sure appreciate your call. And we're just going to move on down the line. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Yeah, Mike, how can I help you?
Listen, let me turn my radio off. I was listening to your question about Mount Everest that person sent in.
Yeah.
And I do have a Bible verse to answer the question.
Oh, please do so.
It happened after the flood, and it's in Psalms 104, verse 9, and that answers that question.
Can you read that to us?
Yeah, hold on, real quick. Let me put my glasses on. I'll just take a second.
You got to put your glasses on, Mike?
I'm like a really terrible person. I'm sick.
Oh, no. What do you got?
It'd be a long story, but a lot of things.
Let me read verse 9 for you.
Well, I hear it as they flowed over the mountains, they went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. And so that's when the high mountains were formed after the flood.
Well, the trouble is, it's before the flood. He says in verse 5, he set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. Remember, in Genesis, water was over all the face of the earth. And at your rebuke, they fled, and the mountains rose, the valleys sank down. So that would be the creation in the first six 24-hour days.
Yeah, you're not the only person I ever heard said that, but anyway, I think the huge mountains were formed after the flood because the earth, its surface crusted up, and it's just, and plus we know that Mount Everest and these mountains are a lot younger than these older mountains by the amount of erosion on them.
Well, the fact of the matter is, like I say, Pastor Worth could answer that question better. But it's clear from the text here that we're talking about the flood that occurred at creation, not the flood that occurred at Noah's day. But I sure appreciate your call, Mike. And if anybody else got any information on that, the verses that Mike gave, which is really good, Psalm 104, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I think that's really a great verse to show that's what happened. That it's the creation of the world. Listen to verse 14. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth. So I'm quite confident that those mountains existed at the time of creation. Listen to verse 18. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. So it's pretty clear here that this is referring to the beginning of the creation of the world when the mountains did exist. Alrighty. Let's go to another caller. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Who's this?
I'm sorry. I put my radio down. Is this KFUO?
Yes, you're on the air. Who is this?
Very good. Charles,
go ahead.
Okay, Pastor. I didn't realize I was talking to you. This is a rather insignificant question. Well, maybe not insignificant, but I am referring to a scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, it says 5, verse 5, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? And there's also a reference to the today you become my father in Psalm 2. The question I have is, it almost gives the implication, the word today gives the implication there was a beginning in time. It's tied to time when we know that Jesus is the eternal Son and Father is the eternal Father.
Yes. The fact of the matter is, there was never a time when the Son did not exist with the Father.
Exactly.
And so when the word today is made, you are my Son, today I have begotten you, if they were from eternity and Jesus was, and the metaphor used is begotten, that wouldn't contradict anything about Jesus coming about at a different time. The angels, by the way, were not begotten. What were they? Created. Yes. So no angel ever heard the words, you are my son, today I have begotten you. That would never have been said to an angel, because they were created, we don't know how many times or how many days afterwards, but it's clear that the whole text here is to show that Jesus is superior to the angels.
Oh, you bet.
Okie doke.
great. Yeah, and I knew there was an explanation. Thanks for adding it. One other thing, just to support what you said to the lady about the spirit and the body.
Oh, yes.
Another one, Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So there's the immediacy of that.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes.
Thanks for your time, Pastor.
God bless. And anybody else can call me here. The number is 821-0850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. This is an opportunity for you to ask any question of a theological nature. I'm not a professional in all areas, so you might have to wait till Monday to get a better answer, but I'll try and direct you, as I did with Pastor Wirth and others, as to possible answers. But what I really appreciate are you callers, Mike and Charles, phoning up and giving us even better and more Bible verses. In the Old Testament, even talks about that the spirit leaves the body and the body goes into the ground. So that's really important to understand. We were talking about this movie. It's a television series called Proof, P-R-O-O-F. And people are trying to find evidence as to what happens after you die. Well, guess what? All you have to do is go to the scripture, and you'll find real quickly the evidence of what happens when you die. Your spirit goes to be with Jesus if you're a believer, goes to Sheol, or the place of the dead, if you're an unbeliever, and then on Judgment Day, the bodies of both believers and unbelievers are rejoined with the spirit. It's very important to understand. It's just not believers. Some people are so distasteful of the concept of hell that they pretend that people who are unbelievers go out of existence. No, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're Christians. And therefore, we believe what the Bible has to say, even at times when it appears that it doesn't seem to be very rational or make sense. As I've often said, if you ever want to know how God thinks, think commonsensically, then reverse it, and you'll be close. Yes, in fact, it's been interesting in light of the murders that occurred yesterday in the church. How many people are talking about, you know, that we really can't forgive this guy. Somebody was actually asked, a Christian was asked, can this man who shot those nine people, who killed nine people, can he be forgiven? And the answer was no, I could not forgive him. Well, you see, if that man repents of his sin and comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, even he will be forgiven. That really almost makes us angry, doesn't it? And if it does, then you become like a Pharisee. Because Jesus was forgiving tax collectors who cheated people out of money, prostitutes who, of course, did immoral things. If he could forgive them, then how can he not forgive this young man if he comes to faith in Jesus Christ? Now, we're assuming he's an unbeliever, because who would do what he did? Because of the hatred in his heart, for whatever reason. And we'll be hearing more about that as we listen again and again. But Christians are really different. In fact, one of the items I heard, and of course I saw it, were the elders of that church holding hands in prayer. And something happened then, I was told. And that was that the reporters put down their cameras, their notebooks, and they also participated in the prayer. You don't see that happen very often. So why God permitted that, we have no idea. But we do know that those nine individuals who were at a Christian Bible study are now in heaven, in the Spirit, rejoicing with all of their family and friends that they're meeting, looking forward to that day when their body will be restored. It's really hard for us to imagine that, but that's what God has told us. As I indicated, I'm going to be preaching at two churches, Christ Lutheran Church in Clinton, Illinois, Sunday at 8:15 a.m., and then Zion Lutheran Church at Chestnut, Illinois, at 10:30 a.m. And then right after the program, I'm on my way to Collinsville, where Issues Etc. is having their two-day seminar. Great speakers. I'll be there selling products at reduced prices. So you might want to attend. On the next Law and Gospel, have you ever prayed to Jesus and it seems like he's answering you and then something interrupts it? And you think, uh-oh, did God forget about me? We're going to talk about a text where Jesus is interrupted on the next Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.